Well, we want to look in Matthew chapter 16 this morning. And I want to talk to you for just a little bit about what I call following Christ in 3D. You know, we're intrigued these days to watch TV and movie in 3D and put the glasses on and see the things coming out at the from the screen and just almost seemingly hitting us. I was looking in the dictionary and it says, 3D, possessing or appearing to possess the dimensions of height, width, and depth, creating the illusion of depth behind a flat surface, represented with sufficient complexity to be convincing. I think as we think about following Christ this morning, Mission Sunday, right? I mean, what more could we talk about than what it really takes to follow Christ? Because it's bothered me that all of these years that I see many people that are saying, I want to follow Christ, or are singing a song like we just sang a few minutes ago about, I'll say yes. And then when we start talking about going to places that are not convenient and take some sacrifice, people don't too much want to hear about that. And the church of today in America has become very stunted because of that. There are two disturbing things that these last, especially 10 or 20 years, have really bothered me. And one of those is that the church has become inward. The focus is inward. Nothing could be farther from the heart of God. We're not supposed to be inward. We're supposed to be pointed outward to a world that needs Christ. People all around us that need Christ. The other thing that seems to have happened in our culture and in my experience is that it has even crept into the church that we are now about getting and not about giving. The heart of God is giving. And we've become about getting. We want it all. We want the best. We want it for us, and the world seemingly revolves around us. And it's not about getting. I was doing a graduate degree in Dallas, and I, for a while, was working at Mary Kay Cosmetics headquarters, which might surprise some of you all. And, you know, I saw some people. By the way, Mary Kay was a wonderful Christian lady. I saw some people that had a lot of money that were just not happy and not fulfilled in life, because getting things in this life is never going to bring you fulfillment. It is only in the giving and the pouring out of a life that you know real fulfillment and purpose. So we've turned inward. I could tell you so many stories that I'm not going to this morning about people in the churches I've been in that wanted to stay in their own little comfort zone and not get out there and do anything for God, not have a missional heart of God. We started to minister to, an example, we started to minister to some young girls in a Sequoia home in a town where we were, that many of them had been abandoned, abused. One of our little girls had been prostituted from the time she was 10 years old. It just molested, everything you could imagine. And we brought those 8 or 10 of those young ladies into the church and just started loving on them. And there was people in there that liked their own little comfort zone the way it was. And they didn't want those kids around their kids. Where's the heart of God in that? And I was telling them, you wouldn't hardly believe this, you can hardly write it. This one lady went to the DA in town to try to stop us from ministering to these girls and having them in the church. And I'm thinking, Jesus had a different heart than that. So you see, there's been so much turning inward that now most of the traditional church, in my opinion, is stagnant, if not dead as a doornail. Because that's not the heart of Christ. And so instead of turning in and doing what we want, and having our own little comfort zone and our own little social party, you know, folks, a lot of what we're doing in here is not for us. It's for the people that aren't in here yet. It's for those people out there that have a need. It's for people that are dying without Christ. And they're seeing people in churches like I've had that are hating and arguing. Jesus said in John 13, 34 and 35, this is the distinguishing factor that they're going to look at. I'm giving you this commandment that you love one another the way I have loved you. That's a pretty high standard. You say, Brother Mark, I can't love like that. You're right, but Jesus in you can love like that. And so this morning, I really want to look for a few moments at what Jesus said about following Him. And what Jesus said is the way that we go about following Him. Because a lot of us have a label on us. And it's called Christian. But there's very few that seem to exhibit the Galatians 5 fruits of the Holy Spirit in their life. And the first one of those is agape love. And if you're going to come to me in one of my churches, like I've had several people, and call some of my sweet family that have a different color of skin by a nasty name, you do not have the love of Jesus Christ in your heart. Jesus gave us His formula for discipleship. If you look with me in Matthew chapter 16, verses 24, 25 and 26, the Word of God says this. Then Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, if you want to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and then follow me. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus gave those around Him a clear call of what it would require to truly be a follower of Christ. And we have softened that down and soft-sold that so much in America that when you talk about real commitment now, people don't want to hear it. I'm believing that there's a freedom in this place for us to talk about this morning. And that we're going to listen to what God says and respond. I call this following Jesus in 3D. I see 3Ds here He's talking about. He says, if you're going to be a follower or a learner or a disciple that follows after me, first of all, first point is, you're going to deny yourself. That's something that the American culture, for the most part, doesn't know about. Denying yourself. The word here literally has force in the original language. It means utterly deny, or even can be translated disown. Deny yourself. And then the next D. What happened on a cross? Somebody died. It was a symbol of death, you see. It would evoke a picture immediately in these people's minds of death on a tree. You see, this was a symbol of death that would immediately speak to them about all-out commitment to Jesus Christ. If you want to be my follower, first of all, you'll deny yourself and your own agenda and your own self-controlled fleshly nature. You'll take up that symbol of death. You'll die to self. But then the third D, discipleship, you'll follow me. Here's what we've done in America. We want the third D, but not the first two Ds. Right? Here's what we've done. We've reversed that order. You don't go to college until you go through the ABCs of elementary school and high school. But what we've done is wanting to take a class on discipleship 101 and avoid that first couple of things he talked about. It doesn't work that way. And that is one of the reasons we have what we have in the church today. I want you to know I wept over this. Sharing this morning. But it's the truth of God's Word. I want discipleship. I want to be called a follower. I want to go in this direction and be labeled this, but I don't want the denial, and boy, I sure don't want to think about that death thing. Following Christ in 3D. You see, following Christ the way Christ spoke about it really looks a whole lot different than what we see in so many churches today. Dying to the self-centered flesh, then following Christ and not following after the self-centered flesh. When it comes right down to it, when you realize you're in Christ and you are His, Paul said, don't you understand? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. You are bought with a price. You are not your own. So you know what that means to me? I do not control and possess my own life. My Lord Jesus possesses my life. And it's why I will go down roads where there's been a beheaded head on the side of the road. Because my life is not mine. This morning, we're talking about missions and being missional. And doing what God calls us to do. So here's the formula, folks, in 3D. So real, it'll slap you in the face this morning. Through the 3D glasses and lens of Scripture. If you want to follow after me, here's the formula of Jesus. You deny yourself, the self-centered flesh. You take up your cross, that symbol of death. You die to self. You make that moment-by-moment commitment that I'm carrying that cross, that symbol of death, to follow Jesus. And then you follow after me. This is so foreign to the American culture and what so many people hear. Some of them will look at you like you're crazy when you say something like that. Or they'll say amen and think you're crazy. Following Christ in 3D. We know this scripture very well, right? Probably almost everybody here has read this verse, studied this verse, remembered this verse. I want to apply it in a little bit different way this morning than maybe you've heard it before. Because we look at this verse and yet so much of the time we don't really remember what just went on before that precipitated this. Look with me. in Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 to 23. Verse 21 says, "From that time Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must," notice, "must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised the third day." Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "The Son of God," first mistake. He took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." And we have one of the most stunning rebukes in all of the New Testament. "But he turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Peter.'" No. "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me." Here it is. "For you are not mindful of things of God, but of the things of men." And that is what our country has become eat up with. We're mindful of the things of men and not of the things of God. And that this life is really very short here. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Now I want to take the three D's that Jesus spoke right after this and apply them to Peter here. Let's look at Peter's actions through the 3D lens of Christ's definition of true discipleship that came after that. First of all, if you want to come after me, you'll deny yourself. Peter was not denying self. He was exalting self. Right? Peter was not denying self. He was exalting himself. Rebuking the Lord Jesus after he had just been told, "This is God's sovereign plan. This is what is going to happen. God has it for me to go to Jerusalem to be tried and to be killed and to die on a cross." Maybe you missed the last part, and be raised the third day. He was not denying self. He was exalting self. Listen, what my emotions tell me is not good may be God's sacrificial best in my life. Your emotions can do this, right? You can be up on the top one day and be down in the pit the next day. Listen, let this apply in our lives today. What my emotions fight against, listen, think about Peter. What my emotions fight against, I may have to embrace as God's provision. The last thing he wanted, right? "Oh, Jesus, this isn't going to happen to you." This stunning rebuke, you realize, comes moments after Peter had just made this incredible declaration when he asked, "Who am I?" And Peter says, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood hadn't revealed this to you, but my Father." Moments later. Moments later. He's saying, "Get behind me, Satan." What my emotions sometimes believe is selflessness may actually be selfishness when it is opposed to what God has told us in His Word. You see, emotions can have you all over the place. It's why we have an authoritative Word of God, the absolute standard of authority to live by. Are y'all still with me this morning? Okay. It's why we have a standard to live by, because our emotions can have us all over the place. Peter's emotions had him all over the place, didn't they? Wow. You know, they're coming to get Jesus, and he's the first one. You know, pulls the sword, does that whole thing. Oh, before that, Lord, I'll never leave you. All these guys can leave you, right? But I'm never going to leave you, Lord. I'll die with you. And then you know what happened. Emotions, right? We cannot live our life by our emotions. We live our life by the truths and the principles of the Word of God. And he denied Jesus 3 times after that. You know, this is just a sidebar. I've often thought of what went on in his heart when he heard a rooster crow the rest of his life. Because our emotions can say one thing and really think that it's all right. But when it's opposed to God's sovereign plan and what he's told us in his word. Peter was not denying self, he was exalting self. Denying self, we're talking about being missional here for all of us today, right? This will scare you. When I was in Haiti, I was taking a mission team up to a certain place. It's up above Port-au-Prince. Little place called Fermath, and there's a Baptist mission up there, and I take the team up there, mostly young people, and I'm kind of behind them making sure everything's okay because security was my, you know, issue, and all of a sudden I see this really elderly lady coming up to my team, and she's in front of the team just in their face, just very demonstrative and animated, and I go up there and find out what's going on? This lady and her husband were the ones that had started that mission, that whole complex, when they went there in 1948. Had been there their whole lives, had given their whole lives to reach the Haitian people for Jesus Christ. Can you imagine the denying self that went on? Eleanor and Wallace Turnbull. As a matter of fact, they're legends in the missionary world. They're some of the ones that they would put in the VBS stuff and write about these people. So she's up there just like this. I'm thinking, wow, what's going on? 86 years old. Up there in these kids' face. Are you living for Jesus? Is your life where he wants it to be? Are you doing what God's called you to do? 86 years old. Wallace was 88 or 89. Been in this place 60, whatever it was, 48, 63 years. And I was complaining about something back at the mission house. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness. Given their whole lives to this place, and can you imagine the denial? They had denied themselves. These people had been through unimaginable things with these people. They went there as young people. They had been through horrible famines, incredible floods, threats against their life constantly. 73% of the country was voodoo, so voodoo curses and attacks against them. Diseases like you wouldn't believe, and they had a little medical clinic there where they helped sometimes 200 people a day. They built a hospital, and the most recent thing they were through was when this earthquake hit that was one of the most destructive in all of history. I've never seen a city destroyed like Port-au-Prince. And so they were there through that all. Why? Following Jesus' formula. Denying themselves. Denying their own fleshly wants, their own path, their own agenda, their own desires, so they could pour out their life in Haiti. You see, you can't get there without the first D. If you want to follow me, Christ said, you must deny yourself. Peter wasn't denying self, he was exalting self. Secondly, take up your cross. Peter was not taking up his cross, he was avoiding the cross because of self. Here's the truth. We will either carry the cross as we follow Christ, or we will avoid the cross as we follow self. See, you can't get there without going through the first D. We will either carry the cross as we follow Jesus with that absolute surrender to Him, whatever it takes, even to death. And those people knew that was very likely what was going to happen in their lives. We will either carry the cross as we follow Jesus, or we will avoid the cross as we follow self. You look at our country and answer that question. What's happening? Now here's an interesting thought to me. Carrying the cross was Christ's prerequisite for a true disciple, not a suggestion. He said, if you want to truly be my follower and my disciple, you deny yourself, your own agenda, your own path, utterly disown it. You take up your cross, this symbol of death, you die to self, your own agenda, your own path. You have this absolute surrender in your life to Christ. That was a prerequisite for true discipleship, not a suggestion. Oh, we didn't show the video this morning. Or did I miss it? Okay. We had a 4-minute little video from one of the trips in the Philippines. If we do see it, one of the pictures you'll see is in a room, a whole bunch of us, including me, a whole bunch of men, all with their hands on each other's shoulders, all kind of around somebody in the middle. You remember this? Okay. I want you to notice that picture when you see it. Because after we got done that day with our men's pastors' conference and the women's conference, Yvette and the ladies were telling me that there was a wife and a mother that were just pleading with them to pray that her husband and her son, same person, would not be murdered. And it broke my heart. And so when we came back for the next session of the pastors' conference, and this is how humble and just following Christ they are. That young man would have sat there that whole conference and never told me about that. And I said, are there any of you pastors that your life is actually under threat of death right now? And I found out which one it was that they were telling me about. And so I said, are there any others? Three of them came up. And when you see that picture, that was us all around them, praying over them, and praying that God would use them as a powerful instrument in His kingdom work. Take up your cross. They continued to preach Christ. It was either the next year or the year after I came, I found out that all of them were saying, oh, did you hear about such and such? And it was a miracle what God did. And I just, we're skeptical as Americans, right? Okay, they're exaggerating. So come to find out, one of these church leaders, the rebels had come and attacked his place with a spray of gunfire and had shot, I don't know if they found holes in the wall or what, but they told me over 50 times. at him trying to kill him. His thumb was gone, and he was hit right here. I guess he fell down, and they might have thought he was dead. But God spared his life. And he was in our pastor's conference with a big smile on his face. And I took a picture of me and him. I didn't bring it with me, but I had his hand up on his chest. You can see his thumb missing. Take up your cross. It's the way you follow Jesus. It's not what we have made it in this culture. It's not the shell of what the church has become. You deny yourself. This is 3D. You want to see it clearly this morning. You deny yourself, your own agenda, your own fleshly centered life. You take up your cross, that symbol of death, ready to surrender all. And then you follow me. Peter was not following Jesus here. He was following Peter. Does that happen in your life? All of us got to go like this. Yeah. You see, to follow Jesus is to follow his will. In this instance, as Peter was fighting against the very reason that Jesus Christ came to this place to die so we could be saved. And Peter's fighting against this. Peter was not following Christ, he was following himself. Jesus was not his Lord here. His self-centered will was his Lord. Short-sighted emotion here. We all deal with it, right? Short-sighted, impulsive emotion can sometimes, listen to this, let this seep in with what Jesus said to him. Short-sighted, impulsive emotion can sometimes make a servant of God into an instrument of Satan. The very one who had just proclaimed, "You are the Christ, the Christos, the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Son of God." And moments later, short-sighted, impulsive emotion turned him into an instrument of Satan. Can that happen to people following Christ? Yeah. Because we don't live by our emotions. We live by the Word of God. We live by the principles of the truth of the Word of God as the Holy Spirit of God relates those to our life. The cross that we avoid in fear. This is a hard one. Peter didn't understand it. The cross that we avoid in fear is the doorway to God's ultimate plan and blessing. No, Jesus, you're not going to die. You're about to thwart the whole sovereign plan of God here the way he was going after this. A cross, a symbol of death. You know what? It's just an absolute, outright, all-out commitment, blank check commitment to Christ. That's what we're talking about here. God directs us many times into difficult situations for his sovereign will to be carried out. Remember Joseph? If he had never been Egypt's prisoner, he would never have been Egypt's governor. God reaches down into our lives and in his sovereign will and way works through some difficult things that he allows us to go through for the express purpose of bringing glory to God. That's what Kit just said. That's why we're here. To glorify God, glorify the name of the Lord. And sometimes it's difficult. Jesus said, follow me. Deny yourself, die to self, then follow me as a disciple. Follow me. What's the reality of that this morning? Follow me as I pour out my life to save others. We like the follow in me part, but when it means pouring out my life to save others. A few years ago, I had been on the mission field for a while, and God touched my heart about taking my daughter. It's one thing for me to risk myself. It's a whole other level of faith to risk my daughter. Follow me as I pour out my life to save others. Are we ready to pour out our lives? That's following Christ. Remember Paul said, if I be poured out as a drink sacrifice, praise God. If my life be poured out as a sacrifice, praise God. Follow me as I go to the cross to fulfill God's sovereign plan. Follow me as I am resurrected to live forever. Follow me whenever I call, however I call, wherever I call, forever in your life. That is the plan of discipleship from Jesus in 3D. Seeing it clearly this morning. So, I told you last night that I would share just a moment with you about an experience in Haiti. And as I think about following Christ and serving Him, I remember I was sitting there and people were coming out of the medical clinic and they were sitting down in the chair and I was just trying to love on them and share the gospel. And this one very elderly Haitian woman came and sat down and I started just like I always did. You know, just started to share the gospel. And she broke off into the Haitian Creole and just, you know, talking to my interpreter. And so I stopped and he looked at me and said, she say she know Jesus and he is her life. And I said, okay, then tell her that her and I are just going to talk about her and me loving and serving Jesus Christ the rest of our life. She again breaks off into her passionate, you know, this beautiful, old, wrinkled, passionate face in this Creole, you know, just with all that was within her. And my interpreter looks at me and said, she says, she will love and serve Jesus till my dying breath. Here was said a woman who had been through hellish stuff. Her family being crushed under tons of concrete and watching them die and bleed to death. And she sits there and it humbles me. You know, they think we're great going over there. Sometimes I don't feel like I'm worthy to sit next to some of those people. She says, I will love and serve Jesus till my dying. That is following Christ. According to his definition. So here it is this morning. If you want to be a follower of Christ, you deny your own agenda, yourself. You take up a cross, a symbol of death. You die to self. You make this all-out commitment to the point of giving your life, if that's what it requires. Then you follow Jesus wherever, whenever, however, forever. That's the commitment of my life, to follow Jesus. not wanting what I want as Peter did, not wanting it out of emotion the way I want to see it happen, not realizing it's short-circuiting the sovereign plan of God. Here's the good news. In Christ this morning, you can do anything. I can do all things through Christ, who continually, present action there, continually pours strength into me. Whatever God has designed for your life, and by the way, He has a design for every single one of you and me in this place right now. So, we're going to answer a question this morning. Am I going to make a commitment to be a follower of Christ? Or am I going to be a follower of myself? Am I going to be a champion for Christ and see Him impact the world around me? Am I going to see kingdom work done through what God does in and through my life? Or am I just going to go on and use this life for my own self-centered, selfish reasons? This morning, there is no greater life than to invest your life for Jesus. I said a prayer when I was a little guy, about 6 years old. Said a prayer, and my dad was a minister and thought, you know, it sounded like the thing to do. And I went and got dunked in some water. Temple Baptist Church in Kansas City, Missouri. Tried to live the way I thought I should, you know. Realized when I was about 18, 19 years old that it was all surface. It was all external. You know, I was trying to find meaning and purpose in my life, and I'd done that in football. I later tried to continue to find meaning, not seeing what I needed to see in the military as I went into the Army, and then later studying the martial arts for 7 years. I mean, I was looking. Nothing met the deepest needs of my heart except Jesus. And I don't mean something superficial or external. I mean a blank check commitment to Christ. And you might think in your mind this morning, I don't want to go in that direction. It looks pretty tough. And when I was growing up, I saw every kind of garbage thing going on in churches with my dad. And there was one thing I didn't want to be. You know what I'm talking about. God got a hold of my heart. And then the greatest joy and desire of my heart was to love and serve Him. This morning, your life can be filled with self and your own direction and emptiness and all of that. Or you can have the greatest life possible by making an all-out commitment to Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you did what I did when I was young and said a prayer, this is not about reciting some words in a formula. This is beyond that. This is about being changed on the inside. Jesus called it being born again. So if you're here this morning and you said a prayer, but you know in your heart, like I did, you've become aware this morning by the Holy Spirit, like I did, that it's been external. I've been doing this out of just superficial motives. This morning is the greatest day of your life because Jesus has His arm outstretched. And He says, this morning, I want to save you. I want to change you on the inside. I want to give you a life of purpose and fulfillment. I want to use you to impact things that are eternal. This morning, if you've realized that's you, like I did, you'll want to come in just a moment and make just an absolute blank check commitment like I did. Lord, my life is yours. Whatever you want for my life, I want you to come in to me and to my life and be my Lord and Savior and use me in a powerful way. If you're here this morning and you've grown up in America, which is most of us, right? Other than my friends back here who know what true sacrifice is about. If you're here this morning and you've grown up in American church, maybe some of the ones like I talked about that really are more about surface and ritual than they are about a changed life. And this morning God is speaking to you about literally being on mission where you are, in your own life, in your own family, where you live. And maybe at the same time, he's speaking to some of you about making a commitment to go wherever he calls you to go in another country. This is that Sunday. This is that exciting, what I call a defining moment in your life this morning.
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info@truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.